and welcome to the first podcast of the Reference Series. In this podcast, I'll discuss the contents of my book, A Fly Fishing Guide to Rocky Mountain National Park, and how to use it to plan your next trip in the park. I'll cover the 10 essential planning tools found in the book, and 3 simple steps to planning a fly fishing trip. If you are new to fly fishing the park, or a frequent visitor, consider picking up a copy of the book by visiting your local fly shop, or ordering it online at flyfishingrmnp.com. The book's website also contains current fishing updates, discussions, and extra content not found in the book. And don't forget to subscribe to my Twitter feeds on flyfishingrmnp, all one word. That's flyfishingrmnp. You can also visit my Facebook page, FFG, the numeral 2, RMNP, that's FFG2RMNP, which is the acronym for the book's title.
Are things that should be shared for the joy of one and all.
So, let's get right into today's podcast. When setting out to fish the geography the size of Rocky Mountain National Park, an angler's most common question is most likely, where do I want to fish today? Well, to help answer this question, you have to dig a step deeper and assess a few questions, such as, which side of the park do I want to fish? Is that the east side or the west side of the Continental Divide? How long do I have to fish? Do you have a few hours, several days? Maybe you just have one day. What kind of hike can I handle? There are easy hikes, and there are some more aggressive hikes in the park. And finally, what fish do I want to catch? Do you want to go after the greenback cutthroat? How about some brook trout, or maybe some rainbow? Or maybe you want to get a grand slam? Well, we'll cover how to use the book to answer these questions and more in a moment. The most common question I get is, why did I write the book? Well, it started over a decade ago. I hiked and fished the park quite frequently and kept really detailed notes about what I did in the park. Finally, in about 2005, I decided, I've got something here that other anglers might be interested in. So I started my process of hiking every trail in the park and going to every water in the park, whether it has fish or not. Besides taking my fly rod and a small selection of flies, I also took my camera to take pictures of every place I've been to in the park. I took over 8,000 photos in preparation for the book. Then in 2007, I took all my photos and all my notes and started writing the book. I organized it in such a way that would be most useful to a fly fisher, or at least in my opinion. The book is really laid out to be a general reference guide to planning your trip. In the first 4 sections of the book, I cover the park overview, a little bit about hiking in the park, a little bit about fishing in the park, including some techniques. And then I cover the trout in the park so that when you catch a fish, you know exactly what you're catching. The next few sections go over the 8 zones, which I break down the park into bite-sized chunks to help you plan your trips better. And finally, in the back of the book, I have over 120 effective fly patterns used by local guides and experts, and an appendix chock full of graphs and hatch charts, things that would be very helpful for you to help plan your trip based upon the time of year you're going. Now, let's go over the 10 essential tools found in the book, which are designed to help you plan your fly fishing trip. The first tool, which really I think is the gem of the book, is the table entitled Creeks, Streams, Rivers, and Lakes, starting on page 216. It is an 18-page table of tiny print comprised of 347 water locations in the park. It's organized alphabetically and covers information such as altitude of the lake, length of the stream or river, and what fish are contained within that body of water, if there are any fish. 139 lakes covering over 1,000 acres of fishable water are contained within the table, and 200 stream locations covering 369 miles of fishable stream water are also in the table.
When I get them deep, river blue.
Number two on our list of 10 essential tools found in the book are the detailed hatch charts and hatch seasons of the park. I cover stonefly hatches, caddis hatches, mayfly hatches, and midge hatches. And of course, you have the terrestrials such as ants, crickets, and hoppers that shouldn't be overlooked. There are over 30 common insects found in the park, and their common hatch seasons detailed in those charts.
I'm gonna sail, boys, if she'll float. Yes, I've got them deep river blue.
Number three on our list is a table called Trails Ranked by Difficulty. Each trail used to go to fly fishing destinations in the park has been ranked with a hiker icon from 1 to 5 icons. 1 equals a trail that is easy and flat. 5 hiker icons equals a trail that might be long or rather steep. The table contains the approximate trail length in miles, so you know what you're getting yourself into when you set out for a day. And there's a page reference number that takes you to the section in the book where the trail is discussed in more detail along with the fly fishing destinations.
I got them deep river blues.
Number four on our list will appeal to those high altitude junkies in search of trout over 10,000 feet. There's a table called Lakes Over 10,000 Feet, which contain fish. It ranks in altitude from highest to lowest the lakes that contain fish that are over 10,000 feet, as the title suggests. Here's an interesting fact. Of the 42 lakes above 10,000 feet, half of them contain greenback cutthroat, which I think is an added bonus. Number five on our list is a table called 20-Year Average Snow-Free Dates by Backcountry Campsite. You may be asking yourself, why do I need to know this? Well, if you're planning an ice out fishing excursion, for example, you'll probably want to know what lakes at what altitudes will be at ice out conditions. And as most of you know, ice out conditions in the park can offer some of the season's best, I'm talking absolute best, fly fishing. It's also good to know that if you're planning a multi-day backpack trip in the early season, such as in May or June, what altitudes and at what campsites would probably be snow-free so that you can have a more dry camping experience. Number six on our list is the area fly shop listings. This is pretty important. It gives you a listing of all the fly shops that will have the most current information about the park, flies that are working, and even offer guide services in the event you want to take a guide out for a day before setting out on your own. Number seven on our list is the fly patterns listing in the back of the book. These are fly patterns submitted by local experts and guides. Most of them have not been published anywhere else, and they're specific to the park. I really tried hard to put in patterns that have not been published anywhere else. Next on our list, at number 8, is the park fishing techniques and tips section found in the beginning of the book. I cover things such as ethics and courtesy in fishing, how to clean your gear so that we don't include any invasive species into the park. I cover techniques for fishing the high mountain lakes and techniques for fishing streams and rivers within the park. I also go over some float tubing techniques, how to read streams, as I flip through the book here, fishing fast current, and fishing in windy conditions, which you'll experience a lot in the park. Number 9 on the list is a fish identification section, also found in the beginning of the book. Most everybody could tell what a brook trout or a brown trout or a rainbow trout looks like, but it might become more difficult as you catch Colorado River cutthroat, Yellowstone cutthroat, or greenback cutthroat, also found in the park. The book contains some incredible watercolor renderings of each of the fish by a good friend and local artist, Rick Takahashi. I also cover basic information about each species so that you get a better understanding of what their habitat is like and what their spawning season is, etc. Last but not least, at number 10 on our list of 10 essential tools to help plan your trip in the park are the location maps and descriptions, which is really the meat of the book. Each section is laid out so that you have a description of the trail, a topographic map, a trail profile so you know how steep and how long the trail will be, and I discuss each of the fishable waters along that trail. I give you an idea of what kind of fish could be found in that water with little fish icons of specific color. So, example, an orange fish icon would be a brook trout, a brown fish icon would be a brown trout, and a blue fish icon would be a rainbow trout.
Oh, still water, all those great big runs and sweeping bends.
Now, let's change course and talk about the three steps I use to plan a fly fishing trip in the park.
You know that I can still recall every single one of them good times I had down by your waterside.
I think the real gating factor in planning a trip is the time that I have to fish for a day or two. So I look for trails that accommodate time and difficulty requirements that I set out ahead of time. That's step number one. And, as mentioned earlier, there's a table in the back of the book that outlines each trail and the difficulty. So that's a good starting point, in my opinion. The next step I do is to go to the section or the pages to read about the potential destinations I want to fish. I look at the trail profile and I look at the topographic map to know what I'm going to get into for the day. I read a little bit about the trail. And then I read about the fishing destinations along the trail and kind of choose one or two to focus on for the day. Finally, for step three, I prepare my gear and my flies, and I leave a plan behind for my friends and family just so they know I'm going in case something really goes bad while I'm on the trail. So the beginning of the book offers you plenty of advice on gear and flies. And each section of the book that talks about the fish and the water that you are going to fish, I offer some advice on some flies that might work well for that water. So, those are the three steps I use to plan a trip. I look for trails that accommodate time and difficulty. I go to the section and read about the potential destination and get really familiar with where I'm going to go. And finally, I prepare for that day. My gear, my flies, packing a lunch, extra water. And of course, I leave a plan behind so people know where I'm going.
I broke up that boat down by the Horseshoe Bend, and another time at Steiner's Dam.
So let's go over a few examples. Let's say that I'm in the Estes Park area for a day, and my family's going to go down to the town of Estes Park, go shopping, and see the local sites there. They've given me a hall pass to fish for a half a day. The first thing I would do is go back to the table called Trails Ranked by Difficulty in the back of the book. Here I see quite a few trails that are rather flat, rather short, and mostly drive-by fishing. I really don't want to spend a lot of time getting to the fishing water because that's burning my fishing time. So I see by the table it shows me Cow Creek Trail, Horseshoe Park, Moraine Park, Lily Lake, Sprague Lake. All of these are quick access, great fishing destinations for the half a day fly fisher. From there, I would go to the page listed on the table and read more about that fishing destination and see if it suits your needs. And if it does, I offer some fishing tips and some flies you might want to take along as well. Now, let's assume that you have 2 or 3 days to go back in the park, pitch a tent, enjoy some fishing and the trail scenes along the way. I gotta be honest with you, it's very difficult to find one location that you'll want to go fish by using this book. There are so many good locations if you open yourself up to a 2 or 3 day backpack. But for example's sake, let's say that we're on the west side of the park and I'm staying in the Granby area. Well, I'd like to fish some streams. I'd like to fish some lakes as well. I happen to know that East Inlet Trail has a moderate difficulty rating, so I think I could handle that. If I want to go all the way to the end of the trail, it's a little over 8 miles. So I go to that section and read more about East Inlet Trail In there I find there's lots of lakes to fish with brookies and rainbows, and if I really go far up the trail to Fifth Lake, I could get into some cutthroat too. So it's time to wrap up this podcast. I hope you found this podcast useful in covering the 10 essential tools found in the book to help you plan your trip, and the 3 steps that I use to plan my fly fishing trip in the park.
Trails I have traveled, forest I have wandered, all of the ancient things that I've sat and pondered.
If you have specific questions about fishing in the park, feel free to email them to me at info@flyfishingrmnp.com. If your question would be helpful for others to hear, I'll include it with some commentary in future editions of the podcast reference series. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time.
I look down on an eagle, carve my name in a snowfield high above the timberline. And the whisper of a west wind and a gentle spring shower, the silence of a snowfall, they help me write this song. And the sights that I have seen as I've traveled this great country are things that should be shared for the joy and wonder.